ABC Radio Canberra. Streaming now at abc.net.au/Canberra.
As I get older, more and more I realize that when my mother told me to stop messing around and get serious and try harder, I should have listened to her. Yeah, I do wish that, like, maybe I'd spent a bit more time cultivating certain relationships between myself and my professors when I was at university and getting better grades than the ones I got. It sort of took me a while to figure out what I wanted to do, and it wasn't until that point that I started excelling.
After dedicating 5 years to a double degree with honours, Duncan Stewart decided that he wanted more. More reading, more thinking, more writing, and more knowledge. So he decided to pursue a postgraduate degree, and not just any degree. He's applied to 7 PhD programs, mostly in the US, a process that's cost him many, many hours and thousands of dollars. If successful, he'll study for at least another 5 years to become Dr. Duncan Stewart. I asked what draws him to the life of the mind.
Everyone thinks, and I think even jobs that we often denigrate as unthinking involve a kind of thought process. I think it's this weird dichotomy that happens where people say there's the doers and the thinkers, and there's not a relationship between them. Or if you're a bricklayer, this is a low-thinking activity, and then there are, you know, the academics. That's a wrong starting point.
Why have you chosen to pursue research and further study as opposed to getting a job that offers more money and security?
I could probably get by having that separation between, like, my day job and my real life. But if I spend most of my time doing the thing that I care the most about, which is thinking and thinking about these problems, then why not? I think I'm in a privileged position to pursue my dreams. And in that sense, it would be a waste of this life to not at least have a go at it.
So what's the outcome of you having a go so far? How have your applications gone?
Disastrously. I've been rejected outright from most PhD programs, and I've been offered 2 master's programs. So 2 of the schools I applied to said, well, we won't give you a PhD, but you could do a master's here if you wanted. It is competitive. So to give you a sense of the numbers, you're talking about 300, 400 applicants for 7-6 positions.
As the rejection emails, I assume they were, started coming in, I imagine it's like applying for a job and just not getting it.
Yeah, it was. And I think last week, the last one came in, and that's, you know, when you really have to sort of, okay, so I didn't get anything I wanted. You have to face reality at that point. But it is disheartening, and it is hard to know what you want to do. And in addition, it's frustrating because those decisions you could have made to get in are all things that have already happened. You could have been a better student. You could have built that resume. But now you've applied, you haven't gotten in, it's too late.
So you said it's that there are still options on the table, that you've been offered a couple of master's programs. What are your considerations around those and whether you'll take up those offers or not?
I applied to the highly competitive, well-renowned places, and to get a master's from 2 on the table would be great.
What universities are they?
The University of Chicago and the New School for Social Research.
And could they then lead into PhDs at those institutions?
They could, yes.
But money's an issue.
Yeah, so price of tuition in the US is notoriously high.
How much exactly? How much is doing a master's program at a top university in the US?
So, for example, the University of Chicago's full paying price for the master's is $58,000 for a single year. That's US dollars. This is my entire 5-year hex debt in a single year.
Well, what do you get for that? What do classes look like then for that sort of money?
I do know that, for example, the New School for Social Research accepts 25 or so people into their master's program a year. And then you have 10 classes to choose from. So if it was perfectly distributed, you'd be in a class with, you know, one other person or something. So there is the smaller class sizes. And you're paying for the prestige, right? They are selling their name. In some sense, every university is Trump University.
On ABC Radio Canberra, you're listening to local scholar Duncan Stewart talking about his dream to study abroad at a world-class university. Given that it's an incredibly expensive dream to fulfil, I asked him about his funding options.
The ideal, especially given the precarity of the academic job market, is a free ride and a stipend. That would be the ideal. And the parent option, I suppose if you can get your parents to pay for it and they're happy to,
great.
But for me, it's a little bit more fraught, firstly, because I'm the youngest or the last. And so my parents have already sort of helped my siblings. And so there's this sense that I've already seen them give so much. In addition, they're both retired, so I know that now money matters more than it used to.
I find this curious because I reckon having kids means investing everything you can in their lives and in their future. So when I was studying, I didn't mind asking my parents for money because that's what families do. And to be blunt, you're probably going to get a fair chunk of it anyway once they're gone, right?
I think there's a few things going on there. I think there is a cultural difference insofar as independence matters a lot, especially to Western Europeans and people from WASP backgrounds. And so the larger the sum, you know, the more the shame. I think that is true. But I think also, like, I've seen them give so much and I know that I've benefited from their generosity already. You know, they did help me cover the cost of living on campus. And, you know, you said this thing about it's okay for you to ask for money if it's building your future. And I think, unfortunately, that the academic job market shrunk massively. And so this is something I am committed to pursuing, but I don't hold strong illusions about how difficult it is to craft a career out of it.
What if in the future you may well have kids? What if they came to you and were in a very similar situation? Wouldn't you be happy to give them money?
Yeah, I would be happy to give them money. But I think what I would prefer is that I had raised my children sufficiently so that they would undergo this kind of critical process that I've undergone. And they would be like, is it moral to ask? Is it fair to ask? Do I need to do this?
That sounds heaps honorable to me and even more reason to give you the money, to be honest. So what are you going to do then?
I have sent an email to the institutions that have offered me a master's and I've said, look, you know, it's a time-honored dream of mine of attending your university. I'd love to make it work. And without coming across as aggressive or demanding, in which case they might throw up certain barriers, I make it clear that I'm looking for more money. So that's stage one. See if I can get a better deal. Stage two is a serious consideration about if my parents will give me the money, do I need to do this? Do I need to do this now? Would it be better to enter the workforce for a while, save that money? You know, I now know that I can live on half, two-thirds of a decent starting salary. It'd be better to save that money and then in a few years reapply and just be like, well, I can pay my way. And I can now achieve my dreams.
That was Duncan Stewart reflecting upon his pursuit of a postgraduate degree. In breaking news, Duncan has decided to go for it. He's off next month to the New School for Social Research in New York, where he's enrolled in their master's program. Good luck to him. Keep your ears peeled for more fascinating tales from people in and around the ACT with me, Kim Hoon, on ABC Radio Canberra.
ABC Radio Canberra, streaming now at abc.net.au/Canberra.